If the choir wants to come on up. Yes.
Okay, either way works. Good to be back in church this evening. It was exciting to see that young lady this morning trust the Lord. That was really cool. Do you believe that God, of course, you know He answers prayers, right? I can tell you what I prayed this morning, right? Actually, last night when I was finishing up studying, I was just praying through all this stuff. You know, I just said, you know, we had COVID, and then you went through all this winter stuff, and I was looking over that message, and I asked the Lord if this is still relevant today and still works, could you show us something this morning. Give us something that we can hold on to. And I actually prayed that this morning. Of course, you don't think about it when you're up here doing that. You just pray and ask God, you know, and you know, out of all this room with all those adults and seeing God reach the heart of a little girl who's 6 years old, that was pretty special. And I told him thank you for that. You know, and, you know, to get a hold of your dad's attention and ask him to go forward, you know, the only power that could do that is a power greater than any person, you know, tugging on her heart. And, you know, I mean, that actually happened within our presence today. Just down the pew from you, the Holy Spirit was tugging on a little girl's heart. Now, how cool is that? You know, I was excited about that. It was nice to see folks that haven't been here in a while. And then Randy texted me, Randy Birch texted me and said that he listened to the morning service on TV. And he said, and by the way, God answered the prayer and gave you a nice Sunday. You know, Wednesday we said, boy, you know, let's just ask the Lord to give us a nice day Sunday. And he did. You know, now, so you might say, well, that's coincidence. I'm going to chalk it up as a win and move on. Amen. So there's a sign-up sheet here for our senior dinner, whatever you want to call it, just a time that, you know, Maggie and I are going to host. Wendell's going to help us cook the fish, and we're going to have something else other than fish on there. But we got some other things planned. It ought to be fun that night. Just want to spend some time with you guys. But if you know somebody that's not here, that maybe would still feel comfortable coming to that, we'll do it over at the fellowship hall, so there'll be plenty of room to spread out. You know, invite them. Or even if you want to invite somebody that doesn't come here, that's okay too. You know, you get the word out for that. That would be good. And then, not this Monday, but next Monday, Jamie and I are going to start meeting here for a Monday. Jamie, what time you want to start it? 6 o'clock on Mondays. So we're going to just get a bunch of guys together and you know, pick a spot in the Bible and just use that time as a time of fellowship. And so if that's something that you're interested in, it'll be Monday night. And I'll let you pick the topic, all right? And we'll announce that next week. And just another opportunity during a week that if you got some time in your schedule, then we'd love to have you for that. So, and another thing we're going to get on the schedule for March is to do our men's breakfast, but we're going to try and do it on a Sunday morning at 8:30, 9:30, we should be done. And we'll try it on a Sunday morning and see, you know, and you're already heading this direction anyway. You know, you just come a little bit early for breakfast, and it'd be nice to get some of the men and when you think about the prayer breakfast, you know, the ones that I went to, it'd be nice to see be able to get the kids there and let them be around the older men praying. And if we do it on a time when they're already coming to church, you know, that morning, you know, if it flops, I'll say it's Chris's idea, and if it works, then but we'll give it a go and see on Sunday morning. If we can't do that, you know, that might be a cleanup thing, but we can do it after church. So just some things to look forward to coming up. Pastor Ackham is doing good, and he's going to be getting on an airplane here shortly, heading this direction. So pray for him. We still have folks recovering. Eunice's name, I get down right. It's Beryl, right? All right. So anybody got an update on her from the other day? Is she still in ICU? Okay. All right. That's good. At least she's making some progress. So keep her in your prayers, would you? So I think that's all I have, Brother Ronnie.
Please stand and get a hymn book and turn to hymn number 25. The brother deacons come forth to receive the evening offering. Brother Michael, would you ask blessing and offering, please?
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low, in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart fell alone, and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the great unknown. Take my hand, let me stay. Great riches to call my own, but I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being alone. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, from here to the great unknown. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone.
You've been my friend for so long. You were right when I was wrong. I can't repay you all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have it be. For I'm your child and you're my I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed treasures, borrowed dreams, all life's joys you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile. So come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus. God God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life. Make it what you'd have it be. For I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life. Make it what you'd have it be. For I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Lexi, thank you for sharing that with us. And, you know, how many more Sundays we have with you? Two more, and you'll sing each one, and then you'll come back and visit us? Okay. All right. I appreciate her testimony, and we're going to miss her, but I know where she's going, and the car heads that direction. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Ezekiel chapter 13, and what I'd like to go over this evening is we're going to take some time to look in the Bible. You know, in Christianity, in America as a whole, when you look back 60, 70 years ago, even lost people did things differently than they would do today. You know, now there's always been sin, and, you know, some of the things that you find out that the good old days weren't as good as everybody thinks they were. There were still problems, and marriages still failed, and, you know, there are stories that people don't talk about and things like that. 50 years ago, it just wasn't as commonplace as it was today. When things happen like that, whether somebody, you know, got pregnant, or, you know, there was a divorce, those kinds of things, when they happen, were just a lot bigger, you know, of a deal, so to speak, socially. You know, some of that was to the detriment of, you know, a lack of showing love to some of those people, for sure. But the other thing was, it's just that it was just, it wasn't as prominent as it is today. Well, with that, you also have, if you look at the standard of life as far as what was on television 60 years ago, if what was on the radio 60 years ago, the habits of kids 60 years ago, the things that was available to them 60 years ago, the attitudes of young people 60 years ago, you start measuring all of that, and we definitely live in a different world today. A lot of times growing up, we heard messages about things that you shouldn't do, things that you shouldn't wear. How many of you heard a message about, you know, going to the movie theater? You ever heard a preacher preach on going to a movie theater? Okay. You know, and back then, now it would be a little silly to preach about movie theaters today. The reason why they would do it, they would say, okay, if you're in a movie theater, we don't know what movie you're watching. There could be a Disney movie here, and then next to it, not a good movie, and your testimony's sake is why you wouldn't go to a movie theater. Well, today we have a phone, and nobody knows what you're looking at. So, that ship has sailed, because you got other things that you deal with on the horizons. But do you remember hearing messages about that? What about, you ever hear a preacher preach on the television? You know, I've heard him call, Brother Danny raised his hand. I'm sure Billy Mitchell could really tear a good message about the television, for sure. I was in Africa, and he was covering for me, and I went and I came back. I said, Greg, what'd he preach on? He said, Dave, what didn't he preach on? He said he hit everything, you know, and I said, well, amen, covered it all, right? But, you know, you would hear preaching on some of those things, and then along came this word about legalism, and you heard that word a lot, and that was where we're not under the law, we're under grace, and that, you know, conforming to a rule doesn't necessarily make somebody godly, and there's a lot of truth to that. But with all that said, is that what we cannot forget is there is a very real enemy, you know? And what you see in society today is the fact that the enemy is growing, right? Its influence is growing. It's made abortion legal in our country. Same-sex marriage is legal in our country. Now they want transgender kids being on, you know, sports where a guy can run against a girl if he feels like a girl that day. You've got all of those things politically. You've got in Romans 1 or 2, it says that they begin to love the creature more than the creation, more than the creator. It's funny how that's worded. And I mean, it actually says that in the book of Romans, that there will be a time when the people on this earth actually worship the creation more than they do the creator. Now, what is that from? That is because the enemy is gaining ground. But before we get into this, let me ask you this question. All right, do you believe you can pray to God? You believe you pray to God? Okay. All right, if you can pray to God and God can listen to you and God is a spirit or a supernatural being, if God can hear you, can Satan hear you? Can a person pray to Satan? If you can pray to God and you do it in your mind, Satan is a supernatural being. It's not like you and I. All right, God made him in a way that was very powerful. If a person can pray to God, can a person pray to Satan? Let me ask you this. Can a person can get saved or give their life to the Lord, right? If you can do that, or you could say, lack of a better word, pledge your allegiance, could you, if you're going to follow God, can you follow Satan? Now, we always think about Satanism as, you know, scary stuff, and it is scary, but it's not all 666 and pentagrams, okay? When anything that exalts itself above God is into that category, all right? And there is, just like you, there is a Christian movement, there's a movement that Satan is launching. Just like there are followers of Christ, there are going to be people that are following. In fact, the Bible says you do the will of your father, the devil. Okay? Then that means that as you follow after what the worldliness of this world, if you can do the will of God, Christian can do the will of God, then somebody that's not saved and their actions as they are following the world, they're doing the will of their father. Okay? What you're seeing is that church, if you want to call it, is on the move. They are gaining disciples every day. There are people that are following after that mindset. It's no longer creation, it's evolution. And there's people that absolutely 100% believe that. Even the people that are in power in our government, they are only quasi-Christians, most of them, because a lot of them will talk about God on one moment and then worry about the planet on the other because they look at it more from an evolution standpoint. Well, when you look at all of these things, we have to realize that force has never gone anywhere, okay? You know, the devil is still very real. He still has an agenda. He can have disciples. He can have followers. Just like you can do the will of God every day, somebody that's not saved is going to do the will of the person that they're marching after, which is Satan. It's hard to understand this, but you're on one or two sides. You can't be on both. If you're not saved, then you are on the side of the devil, point blank. Right? Now, I mean, I don't know if you should call your neighbor a Satanist or not, but if they don't know the Lord, they're not on the same side that you're on. Right? And they are, can you be influenced by being in a sermon? If you hear a message, can that influence you? All right? So how does the devil influence his followers? He
He doesn't use church. He uses the world to influence them. Just like you can be motivated to do more for God, those people can be motivated to do more for His agenda. Okay? And it's a very real thing. And what's the purpose of looking into this? Is just to understand that there will never be a time we as Christians, we have to have walls up in our life. That's all there is to it. Why? Because there is an enemy out there, and he is very real. He influences even today in Christianity, along the lines of homosexuality. There are kids that grow up in churches that are under that cloud, are being confused. In this county, it happens even in good old Scott County, that's supposed to be protected by, you know, the values and the morals of all the churches around. It still happens. Why? Because there's an enemy out there pushing an agenda that can penetrate the minds and the thoughts of young people, even people that are raised around the Bible. And what you see when somebody turns that direction, what you see is they're following down that path. You know, they're buying into the system. Oh, God's okay. He's a God of love. He just wants you to be happy. Now, that almost sounds just like what he was telling Eve in the Garden of Eden. Well, if you really want this, then you should take it. You know, if that's going to make you happy, then that's something that you should do. So I just want to look a little bit at this evening, and let's pray as we get going. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help us, Lord, not to walk out of here fearful, because we don't need to do that, but just walk out of here a little bit more wiser to our enemy. Lord, thank you for loving us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Now, you're going to have to look at this, or this won't make any sense to you at all. I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 13, and I want you to look at verse 18. But you're going to have to follow me, or this isn't going to make any sense to you, okay? Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 18, I want to read this to you. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature. So we're reading this verse, and it says, whoa. Okay, when you hear God say whoa, pay attention to that. He does not like what's going on. And then you hear this odd statement. Woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes. Now, what in the world is that? Right? And then they wear kerchiefs. You know, and you're reading this, and here's what you're going to do when you read this in the Bible. You're just going to plow right through that, and you're going to go on to the next verse, because that doesn't make any sense at all. But what he's talking about is these women. If you read what's next, woe to the women that sew pillows to armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. So these women, they have this weird outfit, okay? And when they're wearing this weird outfit, they sew pillows to their armholes. I don't have any idea what that would look like. And then they're wearing this kerchief, and they're saying, when you see these women, it's not so much necessarily what they're wearing, it's what it represents. And it says that these women, what does your Bible say after that? These women what? What does it say they do? They hunt souls. Now, I don't know about you, when I read that and actually paid attention to it, I'm like, huh, what in the world is that? Okay, he's saying that there are ladies, and what they do with their calling is they hunt souls. Now, remember that the demonic world's never gone anywhere. It's always been there. It's here today. It shows up in different, we just listed some things that it definitely shows up to today. If you don't believe that the devil's behind the erosion of our country, you're crazy. Of course he is. If you don't believe his agenda's behind that, of course he is. You know, just like back then. Now, I'm just going to throw this out to you, because I told somebody this the other day and I thought it was absolutely Tom Brady, right? I'm not a big football guy. I used to like it. But you know, Tom Brady's wife's not from America. She's from overseas. And she absolutely, if you read the articles about her, she absolutely practices what you would call, you could call it witchcraft, you can call it shamanism, that's a nicer word to say that today, that they're a shaman. She sets up an altar at every single game, and you can just read in some people honestly believe that that's the reason why he's so good. Right? Now look, I didn't get inside of her head, and I'm not the one that's setting up the altar at the games. I'm just telling you, she does it. And he even says that she makes little charms for him and little stones that he's supposed to carry in his outfit as he plays. And you can go and Google that and fact check it, and you're going to find out that that's absolutely real. Now, whether or not you believe there's any ability behind it, that's another story. She does because she does it, right? And she says that he won't play a game without her making this altar before every single game. Okay, now, when you read stuff like this, that they're every stat to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? Now, why is he wording it that way? Why is God using this words, will ye hunt the souls of my people? And will ye save, now look at this in this part. Will ye save the souls of alive that come unto you? So the people that come unto them for this information, it's like they're making a deal, okay? Goes on to read this, and will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay, listen to this wording, to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live. Now that's definitely talking about crossing into another realm. And I don't know, I mean that's beyond me being able to think. I'm just reading to you what's there, and I'm telling you, I looked and looked and looked. You're going to find most of the commentaries are absolutely completely silent on that. Yet the best you got to do is read it the way it says. Where in the Bible else do you find this wording, they hunt souls? Okay? And then it says that, you know, here it says they slay the souls that should not die. Okay? And to save the souls alive that should not live. So they're messing with things that people shouldn't mess with. People should, the devil and God obviously are, you know, the devil does have power, but he doesn't have as much power as God, amen. Okay, so let's just keep reading this. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly. Now, he's not talking about, this is not prophecy. This is not like talking about the book of Daniel when you're looking into something. He's talking about something that those women are doing right then. This isn't some hidden prophecy that involves, you know, things that are going to happen there in the tribulation. He's talking about something that's going on right then and there, an ability that these women had to hunt the souls of men, to cause things to happen that shouldn't happen, you know, and things happened that were going to go another direction. People that should die didn't, and people that didn't shouldn't did. All right, these are things that they were doing right then. Okay, it says, wherefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against your pillows, wherewith ye therefore hunt the souls to make them fly. I will tear them from your arms. I will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Now, whatever you say about this, I'm just glad God comes in at the end and saves the day. Amen. You know, I mean, that I can agree with. At the end, whatever in the world this is, he don't like it. And he says, hey, I'm not going to let this happen. And think about this. And will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I'm the Lord. Now this isn't, I mean, we've talked about it, and at the top of my Bible, there's a little reference, and it says, idolaters denounce. Well, I've read verses in the Bible about idolatry. This doesn't fit anything about worshiping an image. This doesn't fit anything that I've ever read about. This is on another level that you read it and go, what in the world is that? Well, there is a darkness out there. And when I was growing up, people would come in and there was a witch that would come to our church that got saved. And he would scare me to death when he left. You know, talking about, you know, rock music and about, you know, playing it backwards. And I even remember doing that in church. Ever been in a church service, they play a record backward, and you try to, Sandy, you've been in that, and you can hear them saying, I love Satan or whatever, and you think, okay, is that real or not? It just gave me goosebumps and caused me, even when I was unsaved, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about my past, okay? When I was unsaved, even though I grew up in church, I didn't always live for the Lord, but there was a song by Kiss called Heaven's on Fire. I could not listen to that. I mean, I was doing all kinds of things that weren't cool, listening to all kinds of music that I shouldn't listen to. But the moment, the fact, even me mentioning that song right now is giving me goosebumps, because I stopped short of anything to do with blaspheming God, because you know what? I absolutely 100% believed he was real. But there is another world out there. And it doesn't show up in pentagrams and 666. And if you don't believe that there is a movement of the enemy in our world today, and as you go through the book of Revelation and you get closer to the end, that there's going to be more of them and less of us. The idea of being aware of it is to understand that there are things that we have to guard ourselves against the influences of powers like that. Now, that's the reason why you stay in your Bible and you stay in church and you keep right with the Lord, because the enemy is much stronger than me and you, but he's not much stronger than the Lord, all right? It goes, so your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad. You don't think the heart of the righteous is sad in our world today? You don't think there's a lot of Christians that have things in their past that are because of the evil world that we live in and its influences, and we have been led astray through lies. Lies that it's really not that bad. Lies that, you know, the world's really not as bad as what people, we believe those lies every day. You know what it does? It leads us astray. You know what's, we know what's very poetic about this? It said it made their souls sad. Because that's what the devil does. He destroys. If you go home today and you just try to watch regular television, you're going to have to work real hard to try to find something that doesn't offend God. Whether it's in a commercial or whether it's in a storyline, why in the world do you have to have a show Naked and Afraid on? I mean, they wouldn't even let Elvis on TV, and we have Naked and Afraid today. And, you know, unfortunately, it's just become so commonplace in our society that even Christians, if somebody were to get up and start naming sin, a lot of churches would get upset at that kind of preaching because they would call it legalism. And, you know, you're telling me what to do. Well, I'm just telling you, there is an enemy out there, and there has to be somewhere where you draw the line between him and us. Right? And it would only be natural to think there are things that we shouldn't do. There are things that we shouldn't watch. There are society changes that we ought to be aware of. You know, I mean, there ought to be, you know, there's things like, like in college I was telling you that they wouldn't let me have a beer. Well, you know, they're saying what that was. There in the 60s, it was a sign of a rebellion. Well, things like that come and go. It doesn't really mean that today. So onward, forward with the beard, amen, and Jesus had one. But there are things that if I showed up with my hair, I don't have much of it, but if I showed up and I actually could grow hair and I had dyed my hair purple, that would alarm most people in this room. Why? Well, can you find a verse in the Bible that says don't dye your hair purple? Nope. But you can honestly say that it is definitely something that seems to be more on a worldly nature, so why would you do it, right? Because there is an enemy, and he is maneuvering against our society. We know that, but we have given up so much ground in the average home, in the average life, it's not even funny. But then when you read something like this, and you think, well, that's not gone anywhere. Now, what's that verse? Was it Ezekiel 21? Yeah, go to that if you would. Ezekiel 21:21. I'll let you decipher arm pillows and kerchiefs when you get home. Okay. Ezekiel 21:21. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way at the head of two ways. to use divination. Now, divination is a term that you associate with witchcraft. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images, and he looked in the liver. At his right hand was a divination of Jerusalem to appoint captains to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast them out and to build a foot, and it shall be on them. And he goes on through here, and what he was doing, what the king of Babylon was doing, is he was using these things to determine what he was going to do. And even today, when you go to places like Africa, and you go to places like Haiti, and you go to places like where that stuff's a little bit more in your face, do you know what they do? They still look at the liver. I mean, people who say they can do that still look at the liver, and that's a part of the body that they say they can use. Well, I didn't put it in there. God's the one that let you know that this guy, when he was trying to figure out what he was going to do, sat down and he consulted divinations. Now, do you believe that stuff's real? Do you believe that still goes on today, or is that just something that in scary movies? Do you believe that there are people that can actually get a hold of a satanic influence in their life as to what? Well, it hasn't gone away, so why wouldn't there be that? What did Saul do? Why did Saul go to the witch of Endor? Why did he do that? Because God quit listening to Saul. Saul would pray, God wouldn't answer him. Saul wanted to know what was going to happen in the battle. He couldn't go to God anymore because God had wrote him off. But he knew that there was a way that he could still find out what was going on. So he went to the witch of Endor, and when he went to the witch of Endor, he had passed the law that if anybody found a witch, and the Bible says not to suffer a witch to live. Why would God do that? These weren't witch hunts like you had in America that, you know, you could just tell your neighbors a witch and, you know, cause them all kinds of problems. There were real witches back then. People that asked, why would God say, don't suffer a witch to live if there wasn't any ability behind that person to do that? Now, do you not think that on a level much bigger than us in the background, who does this world belong to right now? Doesn't belong to God. Belongs to the devil. You don't think he has ways of talking to people in power? You don't think he has ways of influencing them? I mean, who puts this stuff in their head? Who goes forward with the agenda? Who is behind the movement? If God is behind our movement, there's got to be somebody behind that movement, right? And he looks to infiltrate our ranks. He looks to infiltrate our, because we're the ones that are going to launch the attack against him. He is looking to do that. I mean, from in all sorts of ways in the world around us, the influences that are out, sometimes they even look harmless, but there's an agenda behind that. There's an agenda behind eroding our society. Like Mike actually took a hit at social media today, and that was pretty funny in your Sunday school thing. You know, I mean, you know, even when you look at something like that, a breakdown of society, the ability to do things and nobody know and have any inhibition, that's not God. Those aren't godly things. So if years ago that they used to preach against the television, honestly, you know, we ought to look hard and long at things at the internet. Why? Well, it's not exactly a churchy environment out there, right? I mean, you know, you know what? You don't hear preachers rip and snort about that like you used to about television. You ever heard a preacher get up and call the television the hellvision? And they say that cord goes right down to the pits of hell. Amen. I mean, I heard that when I was a kid. All of a sudden, the internet comes along, and preachers like that. They like to Google their sermons or whatever in the world they do. All of a sudden, you don't hear the rip snorting preaching about things like that, because every pastor I know has access to the internet. You know, I mean, I remember being in church services where people went out and burnt their TVs. You know, Maggie's mom and dad got rid of their TV that way. My mom and dad got rid of it, and then, of course, they got it back again. But, you know, I remember looking at those things and saying, okay, now was that crazy, or was there, why were they upset? Because there was a level of worldliness that was new at that time that was gaining influence and eroding our society, it still hasn't quit, right? And here you got the story about a guy with the liver, and then you got the witch of Endor. Let me finish that. Well, Saul goes, and he can't pray to God, so he goes, and they find the one witch that hadn't been turned in yet. And you know when Saul went to her, do you remember the story? How did Saul go to her? He actually dressed up like somebody else. He made him look, because if he was the king, this lady would have never talked to him. So he disguised himself. And now, do you think he would have gone all the way through that whole process if he did not believe that it was a real deal? That this lady could actually talk to the dead? He would have gone through all of that. But he believed that. And when he got there, and he says, hey, you know, I want you to get Samuel. During that divination process, she realized it was the king. Well, who told her it was the king? He was disguised. It wasn't until she looked into the other world. At that moment, she stopped and she screamed. Why? Because she was in a zone where she had a power that now she knew who was sitting for. When he first walked in, Lloyd, he didn't know who she was. I mean, she didn't know who he was. But once she began to look to the other side, and she screamed and she said, no, you came here to set me up. And then Saul promised that he wouldn't kill her. And he said, please tell me what you see. And she said, I see gods descending to and from the earth. And now people that read this part of the Bible, they say, well, we believe that was made up. Now, there's no way. I mean, guys, Satan's real. And he does have ability. Okay, what about in Egypt? And we can go look at all of these things. Remember when Moses went and he turned the water into blood. What did Pharaoh do? Who did he call? He called his what? Magicians, right? Okay, so who, when Moses turned the water into blood, who was behind that power? God, right? God was behind that power. No question. All right, so was God over here going, okay, well, let me do this, and then let me jump over here and kind of disguise myself as the enemy, and let me give them power just so we can make this a really good Bible story? No. All right, he knew that the magicians, because the magicians weren't doing it and Moses wasn't doing it, you take it back, and once you got God in heaven and you got Satan going at it together, and God turns the water into blood and Satan turns the water into blood. People down there were just the vessel in which they were using. And then the second that happened, Pharaoh said, see, your God's not any big deal. We can do that. And then the next one, and then they get down to the snakes, right? Moses throws his rod on the ground. Well, did Moses make that rod a snake? Do you believe that God made the rod? Then why do we have trouble believing that Satan made their rods turn into snakes? God wasn't saying, okay, wait, I got to jump over here and do it, and I got to come over here and do it. No, there was two different sides. Now, what's really cool about it, see, if God was manipulating, then this story is not as good as we think it is. See, when they turned their snakes, God said, I'm going to end this game right here. Now, when God's snakes started to eat the Egyptian snakes, do you don't think Satan tried to do something about that? Well, of course he did. But he couldn't. Because God's power is greater than Satan's power. Now, do you think that just went away? When we get into the New Testament and that just evaporates. Let's see. I want you to go to Acts chapter 16, if you would. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And let's go to verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, which is the same word that you hear with these ladies with pillowcases on their armholes and kerchiefs that were hunting souls, whatever in the world that's supposed to mean. All right. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that same hour. When that spirit was inside of her, she really could tell the future at that moment, because she was just like, can a Christian be indwelt with the Spirit of God? Are you indwelt with the Spirit of God right now? Does the Spirit of God live inside of you? All right. Well, if the Spirit of God can live inside of you, why couldn't the spirit of the enemy live inside of somebody who belongs to him? A demon cannot take up residence in my life because there's no vacancy, amen? Because somebody else is in there, and light repelled darkness. But if you've got a room and there's no light in it, you're free game. Now, again, it doesn't mean your neighbor's over there, you know, burning candles and sacrificing the neighborhood dog, okay? That would equal more of Hollywood. But if you don't think that there's infiltration of our society through music, through television, through entertainment, through society, through teaching, through our colleges, so many young people go to college today, they leave good churches and they come back all messed up. Why? Because so many colleges around, you know, they told you, you're taking an English class and they start bringing up politics, and you're taking a science class and they start bringing up whether God's real. You know why? Do you know why that's a cesspool of liberal thinking? Because there's an agenda behind it, right? If you can change their mind, if you can change their thinking, if you can make them where they used to have some morals and used to have some values, and you erode that and you hear it enough and enough and enough, and then you put, you know, and you meet people and they're nice people, and you say, well, but I know somebody that's a homosexual and they're really nice. Now, do I think you should be mean to anybody? No way. But just because somebody's nice doesn't make what they're doing okay according to God. But what that is that's us being lulled to sleep by an idea that's bigger than us. They want to change all of that. And they want to erode everywhere they can based on that. You know, in the book of Acts, there was, you know, a group of people that heard the gospel. And what did they do? They went out and they burnt all their books. Well, what kind of books were they that they were burning? They were burning books that had to do with witchcraft. They loaded them up, the books that had to do with divination, and books that things that didn't glorify God. You ever been to a youth group, some of us that, you know, my age, you ever been to a youth group where they ask you to bring your records and burn your records? You ever remember going to a youth group like that where they make a big bonfire and they said, listen, if you got something at home you shouldn't be listening to, throw it in the trash. And there would be kids that would come up and they would throw that music to stuff that wasn't glorifying God, stuff that was talking about the things that were against God, and they asked us to get rid of that. So has that day and age just gone and we no longer need to get rid of things? We don't need to be careful with the world anymore? We don't need to stop and think, well, where maybe have I let down a guard in my life? Maybe is there something that there's part of it? Do you know that you can actually like a little bit of the world? You know, you might like a show that's got a really good storyline, but you know in it there is definitely things that God himself would not like. But why are we so comfortable with it today? Well, one thing is because the preaching against it has been looked down so far, it's been labeled different names, and people stay away from that thing because it doesn't make everybody happy. Well, all I'm telling you, the whole goal of this whole message is to understand is he's still alive, and he still has an agenda. And he's still moving that direction. Well, let's just end with this. Do you know at the end, in the book of Revelation, let me find this really quick. It is in Revelation. Let's see here. Revelation chapter 19, and we'll end with this. Actually, we're going to have to go to Revelation 8 because I don't want to leave it on this note. But we'll do Revelation 19 and we'll move on. Revelation 19, it says this, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So this is talking about the Battle of Armageddon. The church is already raptured, right? And look what it says here. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So who is the one that sits on the horse? Who is that? That's Jesus. Right now, the government won't say, you know, we're following the agenda of Satan. You get to that point, all the Christians are gone, and here's what you've got. You got people that are alive. They're still having kids. Okay? All that's happened in the tribulation period, they know somebody's caused it. They now know who caused it. They know it's God. God is destroying their planet. God is messing with their civilization. And what happens is the beast and the false prophet, they come together with the armies of the world. That's people, okay? They're going to come together, and you're going to know who you're fighting, Chris. You're going to get together. If you're there, you're going to be raptured down. But if you're lost and you go to that point, what they're going to go to people and say, listen, he's coming today. We have to be ready. Well, who are we fighting? They're going to be telling you who they're fighting. They're actually going to say, we are fighting God. It says it right there. The armies of this earth are going to fight the one who comes on the oars and his armies. They're not pretending anymore. They're not hiding behind, you know, closed doors and nice looking people. They're coming right out and saying, we got to stop him. He's going to destroy our world. He's the reason why all of these things have happened. He's the reason why all of these people are gone. He's the reason why we're hungering. He's the reason why our world is in the shape it is. He's the enemy. They're not going to hide behind that statement. They're going to announce that he's the enemy. All right? And then they're going to fight people, human beings. Now, would that make you comfortable today if you knew there are human beings out there that say, we're going to fight God? Would that make you a little bit uncomfortable if there was 400,000 people saying, we're going to launch an army against God? Do you understand? They're here right now. Okay? That idea is here. Once we're gone, they're going to know who the enemy is, right? And it's all going to come down to that right there. And you know what happens? God comes in, he wins the battle, they get put into the lake of fire, and it says this word, alive, right? So that's kind of interesting. He actually wants you to know that they go kicking and screaming, right? You don't die and just appear in hell. I mean, they're actually going to throw them in alive, right? Well, that's a big deal. Okay, now fast forward it here. All I'm saying is this, guys. You walk into a bathroom, it doesn't say men and women on it anymore. Prayer's been long gone in most places in school. Abortion is so commonplace, nobody gets upset about it anymore. We have homosexuality has become a norm, and young people, even in Christianity, are accepting it. You know, we have watered down the line between what's right and wrong so much that it's scary. And what you have to understand is this is just a little bit. You could spend hours looking in the Bible and finding proof that Satan has power today. He can still talk to people. There's still a movement. He thinks he's going to win. It's a real deal. And it now, but do we live like that is really real? If we did, then when you go home tonight, if you lived in, well, anybody that's under the age of 60 is going to make sure that their kids wear a seatbelt. Morgan, when you go home tonight, are you going to put a seatbelt on your kids? Why are you going to do that? Okay, let's see somebody older. Let's see, Brother Arnold, when you were little, did you put a seatbelt on your kids? Okay. All right, but when they first came out, did you think, boy, I've been a negligent, right? Well, the reason why Morgan does it, and, you know, somebody like Arnold might buck the system a little bit, is because Morgan, now I would wear a seatbelt, but she does that because she sees it as a real threat. She loves her kids, don't want them to go through the windshield. Well, may I tell you something? All I'm saying is, look at your kids, look at your grandkids, look at the world that you live in, look at your house, look at your entertainment, look at what you believe, look at how you're being influenced, and just make sure the enemy's not behind any of it. That's all. Okay? That's all. is that we cannot just let our kids do whatever they want to do. There's going to have to be some time you tell them no, and you got to tell them why. In the world, the more that our world gets more wicked, the more no's you're going to have to tell them. And it's not you being a bad parent, it's just the way the world's going. There's going to be less and less that we can do. I'm sorry, because they're moving, right? Their thoughts and their agendas are out there, so we got to counterattack that with some sort of defense in our homes and in our lives and in what we do and how we conduct ourselves. We got to counteract that because they're on the move, right? You don't want that ideology spreading, so we got to counter it now, because I don't want to just leave it all on that depressing stuff. I like this in Romans 8, and we'll go home. Romans chapter 8, and we'll read this in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril. So we can all identify with those words. Okay? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, now look at this part, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All you got to do is turn the light on. That's it. That's all interesting stuff. You can go home and figure out what it means to hunt souls if you're interested in taking that any deeper. The bottom line is this, is that it's nothing that the fear comes when we're no longer looking for the enemy. If you honestly believe everything's safe and everything's okay and these things really, there is an enemy out there that would love to influence everybody in this room to get Christians that used to be, how many of you know Christians that used to be on fire? They're not even in church anymore today. So you don't think he would like to get anybody in this room? How many of you know kids that grew up in church today but you couldn't tell it? So you don't think he's after any more of these other little kids? If it can happen to my kids, it can happen to your kids. And when you look back and say, well, how did that happen? Well, it's because people didn't take that seriously. Because it is serious, right? If God can influence me and I can live my life for God, a saved person can burn a candle for the other side. I can be fishers of men for Jesus. Do you know a worldly person can convert folks as well? You know, he can lead people astray. You know, the Bible says they think it's strange that we run not with them. And our existence makes them guilty, right? You know, when I was in Slippery Rock, the what's their team in Pittsburgh? The Steelers. They were in the Super Bowl. Now, let me tell you, those people, they like football. You don't mess with the Steelers. In fact, they gave me a Steelers shirt when I came there, and they said, listen, this might save your life one day. What kind of a fanatic place is this? I mean, they love football, right? Well, I remember one time they asked me, they were going to play in the Super Bowl, and I had a lot of people come to me and say, Pastor, can you please just have an early service on Sunday? Can we just have church, maybe dinner on the ground, and church again so we can get home to watch the Super Bowl? And I told them, I don't feel comfortable doing that, because what am I going to move it? When you have the Daytona 500 or you got the World Series or you got a bat, I mean, come on, I'll be moving it all the time. I can't just say, oh, we'll just move it for football, but if somebody else wants me to move it because something else is happening on that day, I said, we're just going to leave it the same. Some people got mad. And I said, well, just don't come then. If you want to stay home, here's what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to move it so they wouldn't have to deal with their conscience by missing. They wanted me to make it convenient for them to miss. And I said, I'm not going to preach on you. I'm not even going to mention it. If you need to stay home, I'm not going to judge you. That's on you. Okay? And if you go to miss a church, you're not going to go to hell just because you did that. But what they were uncomfortable with missing. They wanted me to make it so that they didn't feel that sting to do it. And I told them, I'm not going to do that. Well, you know what? That's what the world wants us to do. they don't like to feel any kind of conviction, and we represent that conviction. They want me to go along with them so I can make them feel comfortable about the way that they're living. Once we do that, we erode any base that we have, right? We can't do that. We have got to oppose the onset of the world any chance we can get. We got to rally around our young people and around this word of God and march forward. Amen. Okay, Brother Lloyd, would you stand and lead us in prayer?